From the Fancy Lady Cowgirl headquarters, welcome to the Cowgirl Problems Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to everyone who embodies the cowgirl or cowboy spirit, regardless of what you wear or where you live. The guests on this show are a little fancy, a little ranchy, and they all have a kick-ass story to tell. I'm your host, Courtney Dehoff. Join me for the ride.
Well, welcome to an episode of the Cowgirl Problems Podcast. I'm super excited for our guests today, all the way from New York. I have Evelyn and JoJo hanging out with me. You may be familiar with them because, well, they're basically famous on Instagram. That is the New York Farm Girls. Evelyn, JoJo, hello. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having us on.
I am so excited to chat with you ladies today. Full disclosure, I'm a little bit of an old woman. I'm older than both of you. And I did not discover you until like a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. And I just felt like, have I been living under a rock? Like, where have I been? These girls are the coolest. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to just get them on the podcast. I'm going to ask all the things, learn all of the things. There are actually three of you. Claudia is busy working because the three of you are incredibly busy on Maple Lane Farms in New York, your farm up there. I just want you to start by introducing yourselves and tell me a little bit about your background.
I guess I'll start. I'm Evelyn. I'm the oldest sister out of the three of us. And I have been working on my family's farm since I was in eighth grade. It's kind of a late start for farmers, but I don't know why. I just didn't start up there for a while. And then I started with feeding calves and I really liked it. So throughout high school, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. So I went to college for animals. I recently got my degree in animal science with a focus in dairy, and I thought that I was going to become a dairy nutritionist, and I quickly learned that I didn't like all the science and math that came with it. So I just finished out my degree and kind of just let everything take its course. I moved down to Georgia for a while to work in ag communications. And the reason why I did ag communications, because during this whole time of high school and college, we were doing New York Farm Girls, which is our social media platform. We're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. So we're doing that the whole time. And I really liked connecting with consumers and other farmers through social media. So I went down south to try to continue that. And I figured out that I don't like working for a corporation. I really like working for myself. So I moved back to New York back in January, and I've been working for myself, working on the farm again, which I never thought I would be back on the family farm, but here I am. And I absolutely love my job. I literally wake up every day and I just tell myself I'm so lucky to be doing what I love doing and talking to consumers about farming, sharing the truth of agriculture. It's literally the best job ever.
Oh gosh, I love that. And Evelyn, I can relate to bits and pieces of your story. I did not go back to the farm or the ranch in my case, but I very much sort of didn't think I would, you know, be involved in agriculture necessarily for the rest of my life. And then I just sort of wound right back up in it. And I'm just so thankful, you know, for the different things that I get to do in the industry. So I love that you share that. You know, sometimes what we think our plan is, it's not always how things shake out. Now, JoJo, I want to know what your role on the farm is and sort of what you loved most about it.
So I am 16 years old and I'm a sophomore in high school. And sorry, I have a cold right now. So I started working on the farm when I was 8 years old. And I actually did not want to start feeding calves, but Evelyn, we were all swimming in the pool one day and Evelyn was like, oh, come up and feed calves. So we all went to work and I've been feeding calves for almost 7 years now. And when Claudia went to college last summer, I took over the calf barn. So I'm the calf manager now, and I also milk cows once a week, and I'm also heavily into soccer. I'm the varsity goalie and have been for 2 years, and I started soccer when I was 4 years old, and I'm also heavily into cooking.
Oh, you're busy and you're the varsity goalie already at 16. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. Do you have aspirations, JoJo? Like, do you want to play soccer in college or like beyond high school, or is this just like for fun now?
No, I definitely don't want to play in college. It seems like a big thing to take over. So just for high school.
That's so cool. Ladies, I read that you have about 1,200 over, under, in that area, 1,200 cows on your place. Talk to me a little bit about Maple Lane Farms, because it sounds like a really substantial operation. And it's not just cows. I read you have a pumpkin patch. I don't know when you all sleep, first of all. It sounds like you're very busy. So talk to me a little bit about your family's operation.
Yeah, so our family's dairy farm is going on 5 generations old. We're the 4th generation, and we have a dairy and crop farm. You're right about the 1,200 cows. We have that many total. We're milking about 550 at the moment. And we also grow corn, soybeans, hay, wheat, and like you said, pumpkins. That my dad started when he was 15 years old, and now we're one of the largest pumpkin farms in central New York. That's like our busiest time of year. Like, the dairy farm is busy, but the pumpkin farm is absolutely crazy. It's just a crazy thing letting the public onto your farm. And that's been our whole life, is dealing with the public. And I think that's also why we like New York Farm Girls so much, is because we love talking to the public about farming. But yeah, that's what our fall is. And we're actually expanding it into the summer now. We have, Jojo, how many acres of pumpkins do we have now? I think it's around 70.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's really fun. We definitely always encourage people, like, dairy farming. Sometimes it's hard to make money in our industry, so the pumpkin farm has really helped us a lot.
Diversifying, that's so smart. And I really love what you girls are doing, because it's just really fun and it doesn't feel forced as far as your advocacy goes and sharing. I mean, you share it all on New York Farm Girls. I follow you on Instagram. I've watched some of your YouTube videos. I know how to watch TikTok videos. I tried to make a couple. It took 6 hours to make one video, so I retired from TikTok. But talk to me a little bit about the platform, because when this started, I believe about 7 years ago, my guess is you didn't start out thinking, okay, this is going to turn into a full-time advocacy platform, kind of like a full-time job, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. We started around 7 years ago, back in 2015. It was actually Claudia and I were coming home. Jojo, were you even there for that? I don't even remember.
From the farm.
Yeah, we were coming home from an agritourism farm, and we were just scrolling on social media when we realized, like, wow, there's not that many people out there like sharing the truth of agriculture, and there's a lot more negative things out there instead. So we started the page as a way to combat some of those negative things. We didn't really go really hard on that, but that was one of our goals. And we also just wanted a place to post like the thousands of calf and cow pictures that we have. And
because our friends were kind of getting sick of it.
Yeah. Like, they didn't want to see it all the time. So we kind of created a community that really appreciates those cow and calf pictures. So that's how we started. It was a very random. We just came up with the username on the fly. We definitely did not expect it to grow like it has, but over the years we've really loved growing it and collaborating with different people in ag. And we are obsessed with TikTok, and that's been definitely the biggest tool in growing our page.
Oh, I might need to take notes from the three of you on that. I might have to try my hand again at TikTok, y'all. I had to watch YouTube videos on how to even make a TikTok video. It was very embarrassing. When it comes to your advocacy, I think one of the cool things, just from following you and then from reading some articles that and publications have written about the three of you, I think the reason that it works is the transparency. The three of you are very transparent. You know, I saw a story on your Instagram this morning, and one of you was talking about, you know, calves that had been sick, and what you were doing to sort of combat that. And I really appreciate that. You don't hide anything. Do you think that's kind of been the key to your success?
I definitely think it has been, because there are a lot of farmers out there, and it's understandable they don't want to talk about the super, like, touchy subjects like cow-calf separation and antibiotics and all that stuff. But we think it's really important to talk about those things, because if you don't, it's going to leave that question for consumers, and they may go to a source that's not reliable. So we really want to be that first source for consumers about dairy, and so they don't get any misinformation from pages that really don't know anything about dairy.
That's so good. I'm going to ask both of you this, but JoJo, I'll start with you. What do you think the biggest misconception just about being a farmer is?
I think that a lot of people think that we're like evil in a way, because we take calves away from their mothers and just everything in general.
What about you, Evelyn?
I agree. I think that there's just like a huge gap, and people are very disconnected from farms right now, and they just don't understand that we like want the best for our animals and the best for our land. Like, we do send our animals for beef, but I just wish people that would know like that we love these animals, like they're our entire livelihood.
I get so attached to every single one.
Yeah. So I just wish that consumers and really everyone just realize that we love our animals, we love our land, and we're going to do the best to become more sustainable, and we're not, like JoJo said, like evil, like some people try to portray us as.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that also separates the three of you, and a platform, sort of my platform, what I'm really big on is empowering women and sort of breaking stereotypes that, hey, women can be farmers too, and women can drive the big equipment too, and women can doctor calves and milk cows and, you know, fix feed rations and do all of the things. How do the three of you, and maybe it's not even a conscious thing, but how do you think the three of you empower other women in the agriculture industry and outside of the agriculture industry?
I think within the industry, we less empower women because, like, I don't know how to put it, but, like, I feel like people in the industry, they don't need that empowering. Like, they know what they're doing. They're rocking it every day. Like, they don't need that, because the way we grew up, our dad, he didn't treat us any different because we were girls. We did everything that the guys did. But outside of the industry, I've realized a lot of people didn't realize that there's women in agriculture and doing all these things that used to be thought of as the man's job. So we have a lot of people reach out to us just saying that they're really surprised and they're proud of us. And we're just happy to be showing people that this is how it is. And I believe it's like 30% of women are in the leading position on farms now. So that's really cool. We love telling people that. And I just like showing people that we can do anything a guy can do, even though this was originally thought of as a guy's job.
Heck yeah. I love that. So I come from the beef side of sort of the, I guess, cattle industry. I don't know a whole lot about the dairy industry, but I feel like, and not to say that the beef industry doesn't, because the beef industry gets beat up on a lot too, let's be honest. But I feel like sometimes the dairy industry, maybe more so recently, man, it feels like y'all just cannot catch a break. So I would ask the two of you, two experts in the industry, if there is just one thing that you really wanted people to know or understand about the dairy industry, what would it be?
Well, now that you're talking about beef, Claudia and I were talking about this the other day. We're like, how come beef farmers don't get as much crap as we do? Because we always do. And we're talking about it. It's probably because beef cows are typically out in pasture. Their calves are typically with the moms. And like, it's the opposite usually for dairy farms. So the biggest thing I like to show consumers is really why the calves aren't with their mothers, because that's always the biggest thing for us. And I can go into it if you want, but
yeah, okay. Teach me.
All right. Dairy farms, calves are typically not with their mothers because the cows are usually in barns, and barns are not a good place for a little calf. We've had lots of instances where if we don't separate the calf from the mother soon enough, the mother sometimes steps on the baby.
That had written about the three of you, one thing that you were super thankful about as far as your platforms is that it had really brought the three of you as sisters kind of closer together. So Jojo, I want to start with you. What has been the coolest part of having your sisters, you know, back on the farm and sort of working with them to share this really cool journey that the three of you are on?
For one, it's like a refreshing to have my sisters back, obviously, but it also inspires me to create content. So like if Evelyn's putting out stories, it makes me want to, because, you know, you can never have enough stories. So yeah, I think it's like, it's just really refreshing, and I also miss them a lot, and it's good to have them back.
Evelyn, what about you?
Yeah, I love working with them. A lot of people ask us, like, do we argue all the time? And we really don't. We do have our days. Jojo's like nodding her head. But we have our days when we don't communicate well. But that's like our biggest thing now, is to just really push like a lot of communication between us. Because I feel like that's how a lot of farms fail. And my mom is actually like a counselor for farmers. So she always tells us that. She's like, I see like so many farms fail because they're just not communicating with each other, and you can't understand each other's feelings if you're not communicating. So that's like the biggest thing for us. Like, we have a group text and we're like talking in it all day pretty much, and thinking of new content ideas and constantly working and coming up with the new ideas together. And working hands-on on the farm is also really fun together. It's just because back in high school, we used to just fight all the time in the calf barn.
It's a lot easier because we're a lot more mature now.
Yeah, it's a lot better now, and it's more fun.
We all have like our separate jobs. Like, I'm at the calf barn, Claudia's in the tractors, and Evelyn's up with the cows. So we're not like too, like, what's the word?
Yeah, we're not with each other all the time getting annoyed
at each
other.
But it's like we're all together, but not like, right with each other.
I interrupt this episode really quick. I have to go grab a cup of coffee, but not just any coffee. Oh no, here on the Cowgirl Problems podcast, the Fancy Lady Cowgirl only drinks, wait for it, cowgirl coffee from my great friends over at Cattleman's Coffee. It is so tasty, y'all. Seriously, I always start my morning with a cup, and then I have one mid-morning, and then I have another in the afternoon. Dare I say it, it is buckin' delicious. Be sure to use code FANCYLADYCOWGIRL for 20% off your first order at cattlemanscoffee.com. Wrangle in your morning.
Well, I see this on my social media. Maybe the three of you don't, especially with more of the mainstream audience, right, that doesn't come from the agriculture world. A lot of people don't realize that I would consider your operation quite big. I mean, you have a big operation. They don't realize that these are family run. You know, that I don't know what the statistic is from the USDA, 98% or something are family owned and operated. And I think that that is another big misconception, because this word, corporate, commercial, you know, these words get thrown around. And I think sometimes we lose the message that it's really families at the core of this. And like you guys mentioned, your mom, your dad, it's very much a family operation, right?
Yeah, it's partnership between my dad, his sister, and his brother, and then our two cousins.
Very cool. So you've got multiple generations sort of working together. And I think that that is just part of why people flock to what you're doing, because, you know, people like me can recognize my story and your story. And I think that that's really cool. I did not plan this, and correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to pretend like I planned this, but did we just begin Dairy Month?
Yes, actually it started today.
Oh my gosh. So cool. Dairy Month. Okay. Talk to me a little bit about Dairy Month. What does that entail? What do the New York farm girls have planned for Dairy Month?
Well, we love Dairy Month because it's a month dedicated to dairy, and that's what we do. So we usually plan a lot of posts around that month, and we really dive into those touchy subjects because we know there's going to be a lot of traction under the Dairy Month hashtag. So we want to be at the top of those, because there are a lot of activists that try to take over that hashtag and make Dairy Month this thing where they're quote unquote exposing us, when they really are just finding videos from the bad apples of our industry. And yeah, they're just trying to ruin the month for us. So what we do is we combat that by coming up with bomb posts about the truth of agriculture and the truth of dairy farming. And we combat those and are posts get to the top of the hashtag, and that's our comeback at them.
I like that. Do you ever get tired of having to deal with, I guess, the pushback, mainly from the animal rights activists? Because first of all, they're relentless. Second of all, most of the time they're being paid to do what they're doing, and you can't have a conversation with them. Is there ever a point where you're just like, okay, we're done having this conversation? How do you handle it? Do you respond to the comments? Do you just delete them? I do a little bit of both. What is the New York Farm Girls? How do you handle that, I guess?
The first thing we do is we figure out if they're a troll or not. So if they're really coming to our page to learn about dairy, of course we're going to respond. But sometimes people act like they are and then they're not. So then we stop responding. But we try to decipher if they're just there to mess with us and spread their propaganda, or they're actually there to learn. And we go from there. If they're just there to troll and tell us how bad dairy is, we usually just block and delete them because we don't really have time for that on our page. We are really just about getting straight to the facts, and they clearly don't know the facts, so we don't really want that on our page. So we try to just block and delete as many as we can, but it does get tiring after a while, and they just constantly, like, sometimes we get shared to, like, bigger animal rights and vegans page. So that gets annoying when we get, like, bombarded by, like, thousands of them. But we honestly just keep spreading our information. We don't pay too much attention to them because we learned in the past that when you spend all your time and responding to them and trying to change their mind, it's really not worth it because they have their mind pretty set. So we're just more worried about that movable middle, the consumers that are wondering what dairy is about, and they're kind of in the middle, like, wondering if it's good for you, like, are farmers good people, like, should we trust them? That's what we're really focused on. Those trolls we don't really bother with.
I like that. I think that's a good tactic. Just delete and move on is what I kind of do for the most part. But one of the cool things, I've seen it a little bit on my platform, I'm sure you see it a ton, I do get a lot of people who come on and comment and ask really good questions. And they may even say something like, oh, I hope this isn't a dumb question. And I always say, there are no dumb questions. You're not expected to know everything or even anything about agriculture if you didn't grow up in it. How would you know? Do you see a lot of that on your page? And have you had some really cool conversations with people that, you know, probably you're their only interaction they've ever had with ag?
Yeah, that actually happens all the time with us, and it's probably my favorite part about our page is when people do want to have, like, those conversations with us. And one of my favorite times was when a vegan actually was, like, converted, like, right in front of me back to, like, being a non-vegan. She was like, wow, I thought, like, all this stuff, and, like, I thought you guys abused your animals. And I'm like, nope, like, this is how dairy farmers are, like, we love our animals. And she was like, well, I guess there's really no point of me being a vegan anymore. I'm like, well, whatever you want to do. I have nothing against vegans. You do what you want to do, but I'm just letting you know, like, this is how we run our farm, and we always have the animals as their welfare at the top priority at our farm. So that was probably one of the coolest things that happened to me. And like you said, I'm always getting those people, like, asking, like you said, like, they're at, oh, I hope this isn't a dumb question, but, like, I'm just like, no, like, keep asking me all the questions. And they usually come to our DMs and ask them there.
That's good. Fostering those really great conversations. Ladies, I know you're busy. You got 1200 cows, you got a pumpkin patch, you have all the things going on, so I'm not going to keep you too much longer. But before I let you go, JoJo, what is next for New York Farm Girls? Do you have any, like, cool TikToks or anything planned?
I don't usually plan them accordingly. Like, I'm not.
I like that.
I'm not on a schedule, so whenever I have an idea, like, for example, the other night, it was like I was actually sleeping and I had, like, a dream about a t-shirt idea. So I woke up and I put it in my notes, and
that's actually cool. I didn't know you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Ideas on the fly. and then just make the TikTok.
Hey, you know you're passionate about something when you're literally dreaming about it. So I think you're on the right track. Evelyn, what do you sort of envision when you think of the evolution of New York Farm Girls?
I really just want to keep growing our page. We have a merch line that we're really trying to grow. We want to see a ton of people on our merch because it's all spreading positivity about agriculture. So we're going to keep growing our merch line and continuing to speak to consumers, having that raw conversation with them and just sharing our life every day.
This is awesome, girls. Thank you so much, Evelyn and JoJo of New York Farm Girls. Poor Claudia, she's just out there working away, but I'll let the two of you go so that you can get back to your jobs. But thank you so much for joining the Cowgirl Problems podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.